Thank you so much. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day, good dawn, good dusk, good night, good morrow, good fog, good mist, good cloud,
good night, dusk.
Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. With me, as always, is the other host. Amber Kenny is here.
Hello. What's going on?
Welcome to the show. I was very excited today because, as we've discussed several weeks in a row, and I think this could go on for
indefinitely.
Months. Yeah. I had not unboxed or started to use my brand new computer. And I had an incident last week, and I don't want to get into the details, but let's just say it involved the police, a helicopter, and 40 gallons of strawberry ice cream. No, I had to watch something, and I couldn't. Oh, it was for my short. And because the editor had done some sound mixing on it, it was now in stereo, not in mono, and I was trying to watch it on my iPad, and it would only play one of the tracks, not the other track. So I was like, I got to fucking open this computer because I want to see this right now. So anyway, I got the computer going. Amber and I were texting endlessly today about what was going to
happen. Three lines total.
I was like, here we go again. But it was, I was excited to use the computer tonight for this. And what I realized was there is no, like, whether it's USB or UCB or UMP or whatever the opening is that you put the mic into.
Oh,
there ain't one on the new
computer. You have to do like a Bluetooth or a dongle or something.
Well, yes, there's been dongle salesmen coming to my house all afternoon, like, would you like to buy a dongle, sir? I can show you how it works. I'm like, no, thank you. But anyway, so the mic would not plug into the computer, so I had to stick with old reliable, I call it.
Yeah, your text was very funny because you said, I'm going to try to log on the new computer. I don't know how to do that, so it might take me a while. And I was like, I believe in you. I think you can do it.
I believe in you. I appreciated that. I was like, she's being for real. She does believe in me. It felt good.
I do, but I was also making fun of you. Yes. Two things can be true.
Yes. It's possible to hold two ideas at the same time.
Because I was like, I believe that you can do this.
But it's insane that I have to say this out loud.
Yes. But also, it is like, it is and it isn't. Because tech is so stupid and crazy and difficult and frustrating.
Right. Well, sometimes. And yeah, but just to add to that, that brings up another issue, which is that when I logged on tonight, the photo in my Zoom thing is no longer a photo of me. It's a photo of someone else. And I won't use that person's real name, but this is a person who substitute teached it for me on Saturday, subbed for a class that I had. And, you know, he switched the photo of me for a photo of him.
I could walk you through it. But
no. I'm sure
it'll
take 2 seconds. Okay. Look, I know what I'm doing. But that's not even the part I was going to complain about. What I was going to complain about was I was getting this guy to sub my class. And I am here's a crazy thing. I'm going to go through this whole thing because it's insane. Okay. I'm extremely particular about my class, I realized, because I was having somebody sub. And
it's important to you. Take it seriously.
Right. And I'm like, this is exactly what I want to do this week. This is where they are in the progression. I need them to do this next. And it was so specific. And I was like, I got to give them like a lesson plan. Like I used to teach junior high school. And if there was a sub coming in, you were just like, good luck, motherfucker. I'm out of here.
Put on and Aladdin.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was. That was, you know, I've talked about this before, but Todd Barry, who was the sub at that time, would come into my room and go like, hey man, can I borrow the VCR? And he would just show, you know, whatever the movie was. But now, because these people are my responsibility, not the responsibility of the New York City public school system, I'm like, I got to give them lesson plans. It's a 3-hour class. I would say I spent 7 hours last week typing up the stuff that I wanted him to do.
Ended up
being like 6 pages long. So,
and he probably thought you were insane.
Well, it's interesting because I definitely, you know, I was like, I'm going to send this. And then I wrote a note to him that was like, I'm really sorry about this. And I, you know, you obviously know a lot about this stuff and feel free to do whatever you want or take from it what you want and whatever. And I know it's crazy because we had already, when I first asked him to sub the class, I had sent him a really long message on Facebook explaining why I wanted it to be him and whatever. And he was like, let me go back and read through the incredible long email you just sent. But anyway, so I sent him this thing and I was like, I'm really sorry about how long it is, but it's just, I'm very particular about what I want to do with these people and how it works every week. So there's all this stuff that I would like you to do with them. And I expected exactly what you're saying, that he'd be like, come on, motherfucker, give me a fucking break. And he was so grateful. He was like, this is great. I really like it. And
very helpful instead of just being like, teach my class. Like, okay.
Well, that's what I definitely, like, I didn't want to be like, hey man, I know you can do a song and dance for 3 hours and just keep these people mm-hmm. busy. So go for it. But it was like really extensive and particular. But he also said at the end of his email back to me, he was like, I see now why the people who've had you in class are so much more prepared when they come into my class than the people who haven't had you before. Because I'm so, but anyway, I had to get him to open the Zoom room because it's all still on Zoom. And I was like, oh, I can just put his email in and like whatever. But no, you have to be the administrator to mm-hmm. open the room. So I was like trying to figure it out and on, you know, Google and Alta Vista and Ask Jeeves and none of them had an answer. And Quora, I went on Quora a few times and they give you a lot of conflicting information mm-hmm. there because anybody that's can answer the question.
That's their whole thing.
Right. So I was like, oh, it's easy. Oh, no, wait, it's hard. But eventually what I had to do was give him my logon credentials so that he could log on as me. Oh, and the reason I was able to figure it out was because I texted Aaron, our engineer, and I was like, how does Amber get into your account? And he was the one who explained it to me.
Yeah, so, I just sign in as him.
Right. So that's what I eventually did. And that meant that I had to, because I've always signed in through Facebook, so I had to come up with a password. So I just used. It's so stupid.
Don't tell us your password right now. What are you doing?
I just, it was a 69 joke. Like it was like a Jamie joke, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, ha ha ha.
And then you can give it to another human being.
Yeah. And then when you do sign in, and I think you've done this or maybe do it on a regular basis, but it's like another device is trying to sign in with your, and then so you have to approve it and, you know, whatever. And the whole reason I was doing this, which we'll get to when we get to the segment on the show that we like to call checking in.
Oh my God, we're not there yet.
We're not even there yet.
Oh my God. I need a snack.
Was that I was going to a thing on Saturday.
Ooh la la.
And I'll get into what that thing was in a minute, but I was very concerned while I was at the thing of like, is everything going okay with him getting into my account or do I have to approve it? So I had to go to the people whose place it was and find their Wi-Fi network and their password and like go wait in the hallway and like trying to monitor, am I going to get a text from Zoom saying somebody else is trying to, anyway, it all worked out. So I'm glad I used the 69 joke. Because that never gets old. Folks, this is a part of the show that we like to call checking in. So why don't we start today, as we always do, except when we don't, with Amber. Amber, what's been going on in your life, your world,
yes.
your home,
yes.
your work life,
yes,
and the environment around you?
Yes. I have a couple things. So First of all, I don't think I talked about this yet, but 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to have a haircut. Did I mention this?
No, you had gotten some crazy ultraviolet nails done, but you did not talk about your haircut.
I was supposed to have a whole weekend of nails and hair. Anyway, I was supposed to get my haircut 2 weeks ago, and the morning of my appointment, I got a text message from the salon saying, hey, we're so sorry to do this, but your stylist isn't feeling well. And like, just to be over precautious, we're going to reschedule your appointment. When are you available? And I was like, that's fine. So it was going to be the next Saturday. And
they didn't want to send you to the barbershop down the street?
I guess not. I think they wanted that business. So then Friday night comes along.
Oh, no.
And
You're supposed to go in on Saturday.
Saturday morning. And I swear it is like 8 or 9 p.m. It's inappropriately late. And it was like, I got a text from the salon again, a long one. And it was like, hey, so sorry to do this again. Your stylist thought he would be out of the hospital today, but they want him to stay one more day. Do you want to reschedule to Monday or Tuesday? And I was like, is he okay?
He'll be up and about in no time. And I hope you don't mind that he'll be cutting your hair with severe nerve damage to the entire right side of his body.
And I get it. It's a business, capitalism, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, it feels like we're crossing away. Has he been ill and hospitalized for a solid week now? Is this what I'm gather from the clues? And also, they thought he would be out of the hospital, I guess, on Friday and then be good to cut my hair on Saturday morning. Feels like maybe
he will more than likely have the ventilator out of his throat and the stitches out of his back by Monday morning. So
it feels like he should have some downtime. I just wrote back like, I hope he's okay. Oh my God. And they've already followed up a few times. Like, so Tuesday, how about Wednesday? And I'm like,
is he okay?
I want to give him some time. but I just thought that was so wild.
Yeah.
Also, Jeff made me laugh because he's like, HIPAA violation. And I'm like, that's not what it means. He was being funny. but he makes a good point in the sense that like, I don't know if I needed those details. And those details are what freaked me out. I know I'm not in the service industry, but if if I was in the hospital and my boss was like, oh, sorry, Amber can't be in this meeting. Like, she's like, it doesn't feel like their business to tell other people. She's in the hospital.
Maybe Jeff's right. I mean, if it could be a HIPAA, like if HIPAA was hair insurance protocol association of America or whatever.
Right.
Like, it is none of, like, you just like go, he look, he's just unavailable.
He's unavailable. Yeah. How about Tuesday? And then I probably would have rescheduled right away. Mm-hmm. But now I'm freaked out. Like, is the guy okay? Are you guys abusing him and working him too hard?
They're saying he's probably no longer contagious. So can you do Tuesday?
Exactly. Like, I feel like you guys framed this strangely.
By the way, that HIPAA thing is, you know, I think more observed in the breach than in the actual thing. Like when I went to the doctor many years, like 46 years ago, and was diagnosed with the issues I had with my heart at the time, the guy that did it, the guy that diagnosed me, was also, he had gone to high school with my father. So he was also my father's physician. And for some reason they didn't, you know, you fill out like 90 forms when you go into any doctor's office, and somehow they could not find my phone number when they were going to tell me about the results of this test. So my parents,
just hoping you would walk by.
My parents, who didn't even know that this was going on,
oh my
God, got a message on their answering machine that was like, Hi, it's Dr. So-and-so's office. We're calling to try to find Sean because we have some pretty severe news about his heart. No, so can you please have him call us? Yes, that's exactly what
it was. Horrible.
And so I was fucking livid, and I went, because they call me and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? And I was like, I was in a relationship and my heart is broken. Aww. So please.
And the doctor doesn't understand poetry.
So I went to the doctor's office and I was like, you guys called my parent. Like, what? I'm not 12. I'm in my 30s. Yeah. Like, I'm, you know. Right. And they were like, oh, well, talk to the doctor about it. Like, they just didn't care. Talk to the doctor about it. I said, doctor, you can't, you know. And he was like, well, these things happen. Like, literally, that was his response. And I was like, they should not. That is why there is a law about it. Not to mention the personal strife. Not to mention I was in a relationship and it ended. And I am heartbroken. Fix me. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and he shouldn't have called your parents at all, but he also could have just said, like, hey, look at Sean's phone number. Like the message.
There were so many. Right? There was a list of things. Like, first of all, don't say there's a heart problem. Second of all, don't leave it on the fucking machine.
Yeah.
Like, what if they worked? What if my parents lived in a big office, you know, where there were lots of people around? So now, you know, they sleep in their cubicle and everybody else sleeps in somebody.
What do you think an office is?
It's a place with plants where people live. I've been to them.
See them in the movies.
It's like everybody has bunk beds, right?
And they're all best friends.
They love each other. They have cake together almost every day. And they sign cards.
Mm, so many cards.
So no haircut yet.
So no haircut yet. I don't know. I was going to say twist.
The rain?
Twist isn't
Are you saying the rain came down?
Yeah, the rain. And washed
out
the
all the
spider. Yeah. No, but like an extra flavoring, I guess, on the story is I have for years now gotten like one haircut a year. I've waited until it's like a medical emergency. And so this year I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be the kind of person who schedules a haircut like every few months. And so it's just like a regular thing. And I look like a human being all the time and I'm put together and let's do this. And so this was going to be my first one of those. And it's a combination of, I'm kind of okay. Cause it's not like, I'm not in bad shape. Like
you definitely don't need a doctor right now.
It's not an urgent haircut situation. But it's also like, is the universe conspiring to ensure that I do only get one haircut a year?
Which is
like,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
The universe works in mysterious ways.
But yeah, so I had, my weekend was sort of planned around that. And so it's like, I got some free time on my hands.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that is like a two-day thing, right? Like you get on Saturday morning and then there's
you have to stay up all night, some snipping, some cutting.
Right. You have to fast for a couple of days. And just, it's a lot of like...
And then the recovery time.
There's a lot and there's a lot of consideration too, like...
Like, how about this one?
No.
But yeah, so I haven't, I'm basically ghosting my salon right now. Cause I don't know how to say.
It's fucked up, by the way. That is, you know, any ghosting I'm not a fan of.
Sorry. but yeah, I don't know how to say like, hey, I would like a buffer. Can he be back in the world for a little bit longer? Right. Cause it's not even that I'm like scared or grossed out. It's strange. It feels strange to be talking about like, put this man to work. He just got out of the hospital. I don't know.
You don't want to be in the chair and he starts cutting your hair and he's like, okay, I think I I think I could take a little more off the side here.
And he coughs in his kerchief and there's blood on it.
Oh man, I just watched a show today like that. It was awful.
What show?
A show called 1923.
Ah, yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yes, it's a Yellowstone.
Yes. Do you watch Yellowstone?
I do not.
But you know about it.
I know about it.
Is it a Universal thing?
It's so complicated. I think Yellowstone is Universal, mm-hmm. but the spinoffs are all Paramount.
Yeah.
So Jeff works on the spinoffs.
Oh, I see. So he's involved with 1923.
Yeah.
You know what the next one they're going to make is? They made 1883, then 1923. You know what the next one's going to be?
I need a calculator, but...
69. Oh, boy.
And they're all like, we're cowboys, man.
I've never watched Yellowstone, by the way. I've only watched the prequels, which came out after the show was on. But anyway, there was a scene in the most recent episode where a guy is literally doing what you're saying, like coughing blood into a kerchief, and that's his whole character is... He's got terrible shit going on.
Oh, man.
And it doesn't go well for him. It really, like, when you see that in a movie, you're like, you're not like, oh, this guy's going to fall in love and it's going to end with him riding away in a carriage after he's been married. You're like, this is a tragic figure at the end of his rope. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one other piece of checking in and then I'll be done with my checking in forevermore.
I hope. I mean, it's almost been 11 minutes.
Just on and on and on. I don't even know how to say it. I'm so excited and so happy. I got tickets to see Beyonce in concert, which I really didn't think was going to happen.
Because of the Taylor Swift thing?
Well, just I heard rumors of like how expensive and how hard it was going to be, blah, blah, blah. And then I applied to be on the same pre-sale list I did for Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. And I didn't make it. I didn't make the cut. And
they upped the requirements. They made it more. They made it like you had to do a written this time. Yes, or?
I didn't pass the test. No, it's random. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get chosen, but I was on the wait list.
That's what they tell you. Oh, it's totally random, Amber. Don't think anything of it.
But I was put
off. She's off. Cut her off.
I was put on the wait list so that if the people selected could not serve, like, I don't know. Like, and in the event that one of the fans is no longer deemed worthy of being a fan. And so my friend Tess,
please place your left hand on the lemonade and raise your right hand.
Oh, heaven. My friend Tess, the same thing happened to her. We were both waitlisted. So I sort of, and I also heard rumors that like the cheapest tickets were $700. So between like, that's very expensive.
That's a lot of money.
And not being on the list, I was like, okay, like it doesn't feel great, but I don't think I'm going to make it to this tour. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing Taylor Swift and it is what it is.
I may not make it to the Bay Hive this year.
But Tess texted me.
At least I got to Harry's house and I'll be in Taylor's Swifties.
I am just such a basic bee, but I'm having a good time. But Tess texted me today saying like she got a notification that she was selected, like she made it off the wait list into the regular list. And anyway, she's like, holy shit, guys, we just got tickets. So in the month of August, I am seeing Taylor Swift at the beginning of the month and I'm seeing Beyonce at the end of the month. And I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited.
Where
they were not $700.
I knew that was going to come up at the end of the story. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to call you out on that. Like, you guys paid $700. But I also, you know what? If you paid $700 to do that, I would have to respect that.
Okay.
Because that would mean that you felt so strongly that this entertainment was that worthwhile that you were willing to pay that amount of money.
Right.
And I just feel like maybe... maybe when I was younger, I would have argued with that, but we only go around once, you know? And if that's where
life experiences, man, that's where, that's where the,
it's not about things. It's about being somewhere and feeling something.
And being with my friends and experiencing it with them.
Well, I don't know about that.
You were asking where it is. That's like the rub. It's in Las Vegas. And Jeff was dying laughing. He was like, for someone who doesn't like Las Vegas, you go there like 3 times a year. Right. I can't get away. I can't stop going to Las Vegas. But
I forget who I was talking to recently, but I was just telling somebody, I don't even know what the context was, but I was like, Amber's been to see Magic Mike in Las Vegas like 74 times. Like I was
six times. Well,
but you know how I like
that's a lot. Yeah.
You know, at least I didn't say 69 times. But
oh my God, too funny and too sexy for that show. Are you kidding?
Right. That's true. So you're going to go to Vegas for the weekend to see. So it will end up being $700.
Easily. But again, good times. Yeah. I was like, Tess, we are seeing Taylor Swift and Beyonce in the same month. And she's like, I love us.
And is it, I mean, I don't know any, like I've never even been to Vegas. Is there like a particular like concert venue there, or is it just like she's at the MGM Grand and we're going to be in
conference room? I think it's at like the football stadium,
the Vegas Palladium or whatever. It's whatever, like,
don't the Raiders play there?
Somebody does. I don't know
who. Well, because I was trying to get tickets for the Los Angeles one, and that was going to be at SoFi, which is our football stadium.
Correct.
So I'm guessing like her venues don't get like much smaller than that.
American football, that's not real football. It's a football stadium only in the sense that it's American football. That's not real football.
Are you Harry Styles? Like, what is this?
That's not a real house. No, I love how there's always like a British person talking about how American football isn't real football. It's, it's, you know. Well, that's great. I mean, so. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
But good for you.
It'll be a fun month. And that is the month that Jeff turns 40. Mm-hmm. So he wants to go on a big trip. So like, I basically just have to request that entire month off work. I don't know what I'm going to do. And also I need a second job because I have to pay for all of this.
I thought you were going to say, I basically have to convince him that going to see Beyonce in Las Vegas is a big trip.
No. He's not going to come to that.
He gets a separate trip from.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to Taylor, Jeff's birthday trip, Beyonce, but all in August.
It's a big month. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on.
Now train for it.
The dog days of summer.
Mm-hmm. And that is my checking in. I am done. I'm sorry. I've been going on. God, and
what
on.
Fucking time is it?
It did feel late today. I was like, oh man, it's late. And it was like,
it was 7:30.
6:30.
All right. So I'll do my checking in now. I'm trying to figure out how much information I should reveal about this.
Oh, yeah. You went to a location on Saturday.
I went to a location on Saturday.
And you had to go somewhere special to get Wi-Fi. So it was like the Pentagon or something?
What'd you say?
Like the Pentagon? Was it like a high security?
Yeah, it was the E-ring of the Pentagon. I had to go to a function. No, my friend was nominated for a Grammy Award.
What? You went to the Grammys?
And I'm not going to say my friend's name, but I will say it starts with B and ends with Anse.
I'm so sorry she didn't win the big prize, was she bummed?
No, my friend was nominated for a Grammy, and his friend had a brunch on Saturday for his friends to come and see him while he was here. In other words, my friend was out from New York for his Grammy ceremony. And somebody he knows who lives out here was like, I can have a party for you while you're here. So why don't you tell me which friends you want? So I applied. I got on the wait list. Somebody else couldn't make it. So they said, I got a call from Tess. She was like, I can go.
Right.
And then I was like, can I come with you? So anyway, it was in a part of Los Angeles called Bel Air.
Okay. The Fresh Prince is from there.
Are you familiar with Bel Air at all?
I am. There's no sidewalks.
Oh, there's a lot of no nothings there.
They don't want poor people even walking.
It was crazy to go in there. Like it was like a different world. Not sitcom.
The spinoff of The Cosby Show.
Right. No, not that. It just was wild to drive up into this part of LA.
Were there like big gates to the house?
There was big gates. There were giant trees everywhere. Like it was like a different landscape. Like it didn't feel like I was in LA anymore. It felt like I was in
like
the British countryside.
Oh,
or something,
yeah. That's,
you know,
because is that what like the rich people in, I don't know, the 20s, I'm guessing, is when it was really
established. I don't know anything about
it. But they were probably trying to make it look like the British countryside, because that's what like wealth meant at the time, right?
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, I have tried to make my apartment look like the British countryside, and it's, I, you know, they did a better job, put it that way.
You have like a little castle in the corner.
There's foxes running around being chased by a pack of dogs. And I do carry a blunderbuss most of the time.
I don't know what that is, but football.
It's like one of those old timey muskets with a big wide mouth. So these people lived in Bel Air.
Mm-hmm. The people
and,
throwing the brunch.
Yes. And the only thing I really knew about Bel Air was that it was in Western LA and that it was where OJ ended up on his Rockingham estate when he was chased in his white Bronco. It's literally all I knew. So driving up there was kind of mind blowing. I was going to this brunch. It was at 10:30 on Saturday morning. I didn't know how many people were going to be there. I just figured like, oh, we'll go and it'll be, you know,
have some toast.
Yeah. Like a buffet. You just grab a couple things and you stand in the corner. You don't talk to anybody because you don't know anybody there, you know, whatever.
You need to write a book on how to behave at parties.
I will. I'll do that. I will fucking do that. And then I'll have parties to celebrate the book release. And I'll be like, this is what you do.
And everyone is doing it.
But so if you were going to a brunch at 10:30, so I can't go somewhere without bringing the people there something.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
you don't show
up. I think that's
normal.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Some people.
I would maybe take it a step above normal, but like nice. It's a good.
Okay. I see. Yes.
It's a good thing to do.
Right. So that was, you know,
like a bottle of wine or, you know, right. Some cookies, a bagel, a single bagel.
You, well,
oh, I see where this is going, I think.
No. You absolutely do not.
We'll see.
No, but what would you get if you were going to, like, you're going to, so I knew that there was some
donuts.
Money there. You know, and I was like, I'm going to go and they're already going to have a huge
everything.
Spread.
Yeah.
And it's going to look weird if I'm like, can somebody try my dip? Because right. I brought it all the way from Hollywood.
I brought six donuts from like Ms. Well, Donuts in a
not even a good
box.
Donut place. Yeah. So I was like, what do I get? What do I get these people? And I was like, you can never go wrong with a bottle of liquor.
Yeah.
So I stopped.
I was thinking or like champagne because it's brunch. They do.
Right.
You know,
but even that, I don't know anything about champagne. And I was like, I don't want to show up at, because I feel like champagne is a rich people's thing. Like they would
oh, thanks for
wonderful.
Bringing this bottle of barf.
Like just pour it down the sink right in front of me, like just to teach me a lesson, you know?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be wrong. So I stopped. I stopped at a liquor store and I got a bottle of Maker's Mark because I was like, this is fine. It's not fancy, but it does the job. Trust me when I tell you it does the fucking job really well.
Did you like
and put a bow on it?
Or yeah, or in a bag or bow, nope. Anything. Okay.
Just grabbed it by the handle and strode all the way up the hill in okay. Bel Air with a bottle of Maker's Mark in my fist.
Like a sweaty palm.
Yes. But I was like, okay, I was a little late, it's 10:30, but it was like 11 o'clock. So I walk up and the hostess comes over. I meet the hostess and I'm like, I brought you some wonderful breakfast bourbon. So here you go, you know, like.
Oh, like but it was, can be a gift for later.
Well, like but she immediately was like, do you want bourbon and orange juice? Or and I was like, no, this is for you. Please enjoy. But it turned out that it was very small. I mean, there was only about 12 people there and it was a sit down meal.
Oh.
So.
And you were late.
Well, no. I wasn't late okay, for that. Okay. I mean, everybody was still socializing. There was still another half
I was picturing
hour
everyone sitting at the table right. And like their heads turn and you have your
record scratch.
Sweaty
yeah.
Maker's Mark.
Or no, it wouldn't be a record scratch. It would be like somebody's bow slipping off their violin because it was but anyway, so it was just fancier than I expected. So in a sense, I was kind of like, oh. I'm glad I did bring this thing because if I brought like food or something, it would be totally weird because they're having it served. You know, right? Like I brought a hot dish. It's a tuna casserole.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that I went to kindergarten with who
was
doing this. So it was fun to see him. But of course, there's a bunch of other people there. So it's hard to get more than a couple of seconds with somebody, you know.
Well, and so it seems like a big, exciting weekend for the guy. Like, there's a lot going on.
This is the third time he's been nominated for a Grammy, by the way.
Wow.
But, I didn't even know that. I was like, holy shit. Like, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you weren't.
Except he lost. So, you know, it's not that great.
Like, he clearly invited you and you're important to him, but you weren't the focus of the weekend for him.
Well, no, definitely not. But also a lot of the other people were all people who he had gone to college with. Like they were all friends with each other. So it was myself. And then there was two women there from an awards foundation that my friend, like, he's just one of those people who
collects people.
Yeah, absolutely. So he had won this award from this foundation like 15 years ago. And these women were still like in touch with him and talking to him and, you know, whatever, after all this time. So he invited them as well. So the three of us were kind of in the corner for a while, like chatting it up and whatever. But it was also funny because I met, like, it was mostly guys that he had gone to college with, who he had been in a singing group with in college. He was the pitch of the singing group, which is like the quarterback of the football team, you know? And I
but cooler.
Exactly. I mean, you know, but I swear I am not making this up. So say there was like five guys. I can't even remember exactly how many guys there are. Mm-hmm. I might be making this a little bit wrong, but I think I'm pretty sure their names were Blake, Brett, Britt, Whit, and Jeff. Like, and I was like, how am I supposed to remember which person is which? It was crazy. It was like a, I don't know. It was like a movie or something. Like, you know, like I was meeting people whose names were made up somehow. And it really was. It was spectacular. Like the house is kind of up on the side of a hill, and there's a view of, I don't know what it was, but it was like a lake of some sort that's right there. I don't know if it's a reservoir or a lake or a pond or just a big puddle, or there's
it's been raining quite a bit.
So it could have been the Pacific Ocean. I don't know. Although I could see the other side. I don't know. Maybe we were by Japan.
By Japan.
But it was really like the view was incredible. And then there was like a path that went down. And I didn't go down there, but the husband was like, you're welcome to go down there. That's where the lemon trees and the lime trees and the persimmon trees are. And we also just planted some avocados down there. And then, you know, they had two dogs there who were running around, one of whom had just been rescued the day before. So it was like brand new. But it was like this giant German Shepherd.
You won the lotto, kid.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was insane. It was just a wild glimpse into a different world. Well, you know,
that's what I was going to say. I always find myself, if I'm in a house like that, I don't know if I've even been in a house exactly like that, but I almost have to tamper down all of my awe because I feel like I'm almost being rude of like, mm-hmm. how do you live like this? Like, it's right. It's crazy.
Right. Exactly. What I wanted to do was go around, like, and I couldn't do it. I did take one picture. I did take one picture of the view, but I was like, I want to take pictures of everything. You know, it's like when people say my home is my castle, it's like for these people, it was like their castle is their castle. It's not, it's the same thing.
Their home. Yeah.
So I just wanted to walk around and like, take photos of everything, and I couldn't do that, of course, but it was it was pretty, you know, beautiful pool, like just crazy, really. And I did do this because I'm a fucking dork. They moved there in the middle of the pandemic. They were living in New York City and they were like, we want to get out of the city. So we're going to move to LA. So we're going to move to this place in LA. So they moved to this spectacular place up in the hills in LA. And so when I wrote a note to the hostess the next day, I said, I hate to say this, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing people say this, and they all say the same thing, but I'm a recovering English major. So I will say doing that in the middle of the pandemic is very Boccaccio of you. It's very the Decameron. So, you know, I love a good literary reference. I can't help myself. But then we had brunch. Everybody chatted.
And it was
it was a buffet line.
Okay, but, okay.
You know, it was that thing of like, and this always happens of like, okay, let's everybody get up from the table and go in and have, you know, then nobody wants to be the first one and everybody's standing around. That also coincided with the moment I was talking about where I had to go into the hallway and like find their, I was like, can I get your, your rich people's,
and they're like,
password
no.
and everything. Yeah, exactly. Is your friend by any chance a cat burglar? And then it turned out I didn't even need it. It worked fine. I didn't have to do anything. But so then we had, you know, everybody ate and whatever, and it was nice and went back outside. And then it was really, I don't know, I find this very amusing and I store these things up so I can use them later in the next movie I write or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, all these people from college, they've been out of college for 35 years. They get together. It's the Grammy weekend. They all were in a singing group in college. What do you think is going to happen at the end of the party?
They're going to sing.
No, somebody is going to go, oh, look, we have a baritone, a bass, a tenor, and a whatever. You guys should, what song do you remember? You guys should sing something. Like, and they were like, no.
Like, I respect that.
Yeah. In the movie, no, you're absolutely right about the movie version would be them going,
yeah.
Guys, do you want to do Kentucky Woman? Yeah. You know, but they were just like, no, we're not gonna. We haven't done that in so long. Don't be ridiculous. And they all are definitely coming to see me perform. So that's great.
Right. Yeah. You know, when's your next show? Like, right. All right, asshole. I'll tell you.
And I literally was doing ASCAT, I mean, not ASCAT, Elefante that night. And I was like, I have a show tonight. And also,
and they're like, oh, I'm actually, oh, the Grammys.
No, I mean, you can't hold people to that night. But it was funny that I was like, right. I was like, yeah, tonight. And I can get comps if you guys want to, you know. but it was nice that they were trying to be polite and go. But it's also funny because, or funny to me anyway. I don't know if it's funny to anybody else. Well, I'll never know. Who knows? I mean,
that's not for you to determine.
And also, I can't like go do a survey of everybody. Exactly. And go, do you think this is funny?
If you think it's funny, that's enough.
Right. But there, where they went to school is kind of famous for having several like improv groups.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, you do comedy, you do stand up, whatever, and you write for TV and all the, you know, so we're talking about all that stuff. And then I'm like, yeah, I have a show tonight. It's an improv show. And they didn't do this in any way, but in my mind, they're like rolling their eyes as they're going like, okay, have fun at your little improv show. Mm. You know, like they gave no indication of that in any right. way, but I am positive that there was some internal eye rolling going on. Like, dude,
come on,
you're not a young man. What are you doing? You're still doing improv? That's not a thing for people your age, you know? Anyway, point is I fucking killed at the show that night. But so then I was leaving. I'll end with this. I'll wrap up my checking in with this part of the story. I was leaving. Yeah, no, I know. we're on the clock.
The whole point of the podcast is just get through it.
TikTok, motherfucker. So I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And the hostess comes over with my
Maker's Mark.
Bottle of Maker's Mark. Mm-hmm. And she's like, look.
We don't drink.
No. She goes, I understand why you brought this. You cannot show up to something without bringing something. I'm sure that's how you were raised and I understand it. And I was like, you're exactly right. That is how I was raised. My mother taught me that I should never arrive anywhere with that. She goes, but I feel like this is a lot. This is expensive. And, you know, and so I just want you to know that you should take this home with you. You should bring this home. You should whatever. Just go. Really? You think I should take this? And then what am I going to tell my mother I did after I brought the Maker's Mark to the people's house that I then took it with me when I left? No, thank you. So I did not take the Maker's Mark. I left it there. And she was like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Aww.
So we had a little.
She was like, I want this poor man to drink whiskey sometime. Yeah. He probably spent his last shilling on it.
I saw him. It was only tuppence, governor. But also, like, I saw him walk up the hill from like a quarter of a mile away. I never saw a car. I'm guessing he doesnn't even have a car. He took an Uber. He took a bus to the bottom of the hill and walked all the way up. That's why his hand was so sweaty on the bottle. So anyway, that was just a funny like manners.
Yeah, war, like face off.
Yeah. But it was cool. It was just a cool like weird, interesting into the
very
world.
Very LA, but a different LA.
Right. All right. Well, it's time for a portion of the show that we like to call checking out. No, parting shots. So let's start parting shots today with Amber.
Great.
I don't mean to trick you, but you're going first.
Okay, great.
Don't make it about the trip to Vegas. We already know that.
I'm not. Right. So I did something crazy today. Absolutely crazy.
Oh,
no. This story is going to have ups and downs, but there's going to be a moral at the end.
I hope there's not too many ups and downs because
TikTok. Yeah, let's get to it. So my car registry is like the it's in January. Like the sticker says January, so that's when.
So you have you have the yellow sticker.
No, I mean not anymore.
I just like to sound like I know what I'm talking about.
No, because the month is always just white with the month name, and then the color sticker is the year.
Got it.
And
I guess I fucked up because my sticker is white and the color is the month. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. That's
So I got emails from the DMV saying your registration's coming due. Your registration's coming due in November. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take care of this now. Do it online, bingo bongo, no stress.
It's also cheaper if you do it right away. Like it goes up, like every day it's doubles or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
if you don't do it on day one, you do it on day 30, it's like $4 million to get your
registration. Well, and I know that
it goes from a penny on day one to $4 million on day 30.
Yeah, it's no good. There's no workarounds. Like I think there was a year that my parents didn't register their car because they were like, well, we're not using it. But then when you go to register, you can't just skip a year. You still have to pay for the year that you didn't.
You have to like keep it registered, but non-operational or something like that. And they didn't do that.
Or something like that. Yeah. Uh-huh. And in my youth, 125,000 years ago.
Sorry, your wicked childhood.
Yes, I had struggles with
administrative details.
Yes, and registering your car, and then you get tickets for not having a register. Like it becomes very expensive to not be able to afford registering your car.
Right.
All of this said, I like took it care of it in November. Was really proud of myself. Bingo bongo. Mm-hmm. And then it's Christmas. And I realized I've never received.
Hello, Governor. Would you like to hear a carol?
Why, it's Christmas Day.
God bless ye, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay.
And I realized that I'd never received the updated registry or the sticker. And so I was like, well, maybe it's the holidays, so it's taking longer. And just putting it off. It was one of those things that was rattling around in my brain forever. Even like in my journal entries, it was like, I got to figure out my car registration. But I wasn't doing anything. It was just like, maybe.
I'm familiar with that.
And
that's the story of my life.
But I also was like, I've got some time because I have all through January.
And it's only Christmas time.
It's only Christmas time.
Give us a farthing, love. We've got to register our non-operational vehicle as operational if we're to get anywhere next year.
The biggest goose you have.
Do you have any figgy pudding?
Anyway, it never came. And now it's February. And so I was like, now I'm getting stressed out because I have been in that place where you don't have your car registered. And so I was like Jeff would park on the street. I'm like, you got to park in the back. Like, we're going to get a ticket just sitting there. Like I went on the DMV website and it was circles because it would say like, your car is up to date. And I was like, but I don't have it. So
you guys didn't send me the thing I need.
Yeah. Anyway, I
know where this is going, and I don't like it. Yeah.
You do? I don't think you do.
I do.
You do.
You sold your car.
Gift of the Magi style. So I finally was like, okay, I'm going to have to bite the bullet. I don't want to do this. I'm going to have to go into the DMV. And I went.
That was going to be my prediction, is that you have
to go to the DMV. And you don't like that?
No.
I don't care for it.
I don't think anybody's like, oh, good.
But again, I'm cutting out so many frustrating steps, as you can imagine, because it was like, do everything online. But anytime I tried to do what I wanted to do online, it was like, no, like that doesn't exist. Or it would just circle me back to where I was. And then
did it ever do the thing? This is, I hate when they do this. They ever go like, unplug your car and plug it back in. Maybe that's the problem.
I didn't get to that part of the menu, but there was even like a, if you still need help, call this number. And I was like, great. But then I called the number and it was just like basically an audio version of the website I was on, where I could only, there wasn't like a person to talk to. There was like four options and none of them related.
We can help. Here's a suggestion. Right. Do it online.
Literally. And I was like, ah. And so I was like, I'm going to have to go in, because what I need is relatively simple. I just can't get there on the website or on the phone. So first I was like, I'll make an appointment at the nearest DMV. And so I click on it and it was like, no appointments ever.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just,
well, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of time travelers registering their cars early. So you can't
but
get in.
Like, anymore. I don't know if it's just a DMV that doesn't accept appointments, but like, then don't have it on the website. Like it literally said zero.
No appointments ever. Just call this number for assistance.
Right. And so I was like,
try our website.
Oh no. Oh no. So then I just clicked, I tried Glendale. I had a feeling Glendale would be good. And it was like, you could have an appointment Monday morning.
Right.
And this was on Friday.
You're like,
and
but I have like, a hair appointment on Monday morning. Is somebody still in surgery?
And I said, great, I will take it Monday morning. Let's do this. I had, I got all of my evidence together, my old registry.
Evidence.
Like, you know, when you go,
hi, my car is a murder scene, so I just want to register.
I guess evidence was a poor choice of words. I meant documentation.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You go to something like that and it should be simple, but it's like, great, we just need proof of blah, blah, blah. So I had like all of my old registrations, my driver's license, my old driver's license, like anything.
Do you have your birth certificate, ma'am, and your marriage certificate and your electricity bill?
And, so I made an appointment for 11:50 because I was thinking it'd be like my lunch break. And I was like, we'll
see. Jesus, 11:50 is your lunch break? What time do you go to work?
Nine.
I mean, it's morning. 11:50 is the morning.
Well, I was guessing it would go till about 12:30, 12:45.
Got it.
12:01. Yeah, like
lunch,
who knows? It's the DMV. So I get there and it's like immediately chaos, like immediately somebody is mad at me because there, before you could even enter the DMV, there's two lines. One is for appointments and one is for people coming without an appointment, but I couldn't tell where those were. So I was just waiting in what I thought was the line. And then I saw that one was for appointments and one was for non-appointments. And so I was like, oh, and I scooted over. But apparently the front of the non-appointment line was behind a sign. So I looked like I was cutting, but I just didn't know that. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I just.
Yes, I do.
And so I.
By the way, I am a recovering English major. So I need to say this feels very Kafka-esque.
Oh, boy. Ow. So then somebody came out and was like, hey, this is like straightened out the chaos a little bit because it was just people bunched in the doorway. And I was like, I have an appointment. Am I gonna have to like elbow people to get through? So it was made clear that behind that blue sign a few feet away is the non-appointment people. And behind this sign is the appointment people. And so I saw
over
a woman.
Here is the McDonald's. Right? So, yeah.
And I looked at the sign and there was a woman who was very mad at me. And I was like, oh, were you already here? And she's like, yes. And I was like, I truly
lines. I feel like lines are one of the worst things in the world.
I know.
Like, just always, there's always resentment and anger, the worst and fury.
Well, and you know me, I feel like we're the same. I'm like rule follower. I am not trying to cut.
Yeah,
like I didn't see that's where the front of the line was.
Right.
So I get into line, and I'm behind maybe four people outside. I have an appointment, and I'm just like, how. How long is it going to be? Like, if I have an appointment, I'm thinking I'm talking to a person at the time of the appointment, but I'm not even in the building yet.
Right.
And so they kind of like went, they took like one person from the non-appointment line and one person from the appointment line, and they got to go inside. And then once you were inside, because I was like, okay, here we go. Let's do this. But once you're inside, they just handed you a blue piece of paper that said, like basically my deli counter number, like now serving.
And they have those signs everywhere that have like letters and numbers on them.
Yes, yes. And so I was A035.
That's okay? A bingo.
You're welcome. And they were like, go down this way, make a right, and wait in the seating area. And I was like, great. You know, like nervous, like I don't want to do anything wrong. And then I see the seating area and there's a sea of humanity. Every seat is taken. There's people standing and crowding. And
any chance they were doing the wave?
No, I was just going to say, I was telling Jeff, and I guess this isn't a shocker, but at that DMV, the vibe was off.
Oh boy.
Not a good time. People were unhappy. And
so it was like everybody was like the lady at the sign, but now they were all bunched together in the seating area.
Yes. And everyone has a stupid blue card and everyone thinks like, well, now I have the blue card so I could go, but you can't go still. Mm. And again,
I'm A275. Well, you're going to have to wait. They're on F434. So you have two more and then you.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So I was A035 and they were like E12.
Right.
F17. B9. And I was like, I don't even know. Like, there's no way to know where they are in the system.
B9.
And so I was like, it's going to be a while, I think. Appointment or not. But then I noticed I was an A. They were burning through those A's pretty quickly.
And you know what? They were burning through the other ones quickly too. You're just not paying as close attention because you're not an F or a G or whatever. You're an A. Well, so you're more focused on those. It's because I've been there a million times. Like, I don't know why, but I know that exact system so well. Uh-huh. And it is always like, what the fuck? They're not even on A. They're on this other thing. But it happens way faster than you think it's going to.
It was very, very fast. And then I got up there and I explained everything and I had to fill out one form. It would have been, I think, a total of 2 minutes, but the person at the window next to me didn't fully speak English and was having difficulty. And I think the person helping me spoke whatever language that person spoke. So she went over to assist them for like maybe 5 minutes and then came back and handed me my sticker. I got everything taken care of. They didn't charge me a dime and I was on the road. It was incredible. Like, anyway, moral of the story is always make an appointment at the DMV because
they'll get you through.
I don't know how. I don't think I could have done it. I don't think I could have made it. I really don't.
Right. And you would have been at the mercy of whoever else was there. And when they got to those people, whatever.
Well, and I think because I got an A, I do think the A's were like prioritized
faster
because I was an appointment person.
Right.
Because there's people who are walk-ins at the same time as me. And I'm like, God bless you. But anyway, point is, it was something that I put off for 2 months now, I guess longer, because it was in November. Technically, I could have gotten it in November. And it was this quasi simple, accomplishable. It felt good. I'm just saying it felt real good. And it felt good to be back home in less than an hour. Like there was a part of me that was like, this might be my whole day. Like,
so you were home before 1 o'clock. You were home in time for dinner.
Yes. I think I was home by like 12:30.
Yeah. Dinner time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Supper time.
Yeah. Those things loom. I mean, I just went through a little bit of that just here where I had like furniture to put together or whatever for, I mean, November 2011. And it was just sitting here still, you know?
Well, you got to make sure that it's aged.
Out of date. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's antique.
It's no longer fashionable.
and it just was looming so huge in my mind, you know? And then to get it done, which took, I don't know, 45 minutes, not the rest of my life, which is what I expected.
Right.
And the thing I also forgot, and this is different from the DMV, the thing I forgot about putting stuff together or fixing anything or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of like
fulfilling. Well, but also the idea of just like fucking watch somebody else do it on a video while you're doing it. Yeah. So you know every step you're supposed to do. So I watched this guy do the thing I was doing and I just did what he was doing. He fucked it up a couple times, but
oh, man.
I'm not even joking. Like, you know,
he's
watching
like, oh,
the video,
you're not going to want to do that.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I did this last night too. No. Take that back out.
That's so funny.
And he just left it like that. But at it least, was ultimately valuable because I got,
yeah.
It cause
done, at least you know. You knew when it was a mistake, like there was somebody there validating.
Right. And he had clearly gone through the whole process and gotten it right. And so I knew if I just, even if I made the same mistakes, if I kept going to do what he did,
right,
I would get it ultimately right, you know? So that's what I did.
But it feels so good. It's like, damn, why did I?
I know. Because you're so aggravated mentally by not doing it. And then when you do it, it's a fucking huge load off your mind. And you're like, why did I carry this around? I mean, I wrote 90 pages in my journal that just said, get the registration.
Yeah.
That's a thing that I am very guilty of like having lots of things to do.
And almost being paralyzed by it.
Yeah.
But once you take the action, it's.
Well, because part of the problem for me, and I don't know if this was a problem for your registration, part of the problem for me is like, I can't do this thing until I do this other thing. And I can't do that until I do this thing. And that I can't do until I do this thing. And it's like this whole like Rube Goldberg construction of all the things I can't do until I do the other thing. So then I end up like going, well, I might as well just watch 1923 because there's a guy who coughs blood into a cloth.
I don't need furniture.
Yeah. I'll sit on the fucking floor. Who cares? I can still see the TV.
And there's like a part, it reminds me of more your relationship to your new computer of like.
That's a great example too, by the way.
Of once I start, like, then I might fuck it up and make it worse and harder and more complicated. And so if I don't do anything, at least it's this bad and it's not making it this bad, which is silly, but.
It's also, I mean, we're sitting here talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely do this again numerous times.
Oh,
I will definitely put things up.
Like, sure.
It's the lesson that you have to learn over and over again and never internalize.
I might be closing the
that's good.
The like I'm still gonna do it, but it isn't like a 4-year gap. It's like a 2-month gap, and that's progress.
All we can ask is to improve over time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my parting shot. I was gonna do a whole thing here.
And I just fucked it up.
No. It's not even that. I feel like I haven't really thought it through well enough. And it's political. And so I don't want to go in the wrong direction. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would never go in the wrong. Well, I just, the whole thing is about how I now love Trump and I think he's great. And I can't
okay. All like right. We're going to wrap it up here. And it's been fun.
No, but here's all I'll say. First of all, I told that story, I think I can't remember, it was maybe last week or the week before, about working at FAO Schwartz and having the hands thing and whatever. And I was saying while I was telling that story, like, I probably have told this story like 10 times before. And somebody commented on our YouTube page and said, I am the official long shot historian. Sean has never told, and then listed all these other stories I had told before and was like, this one has never been told before.
This one has been told 6 times. This one has been told 4 times.
Right. Well, yes. No. It wasn't even done in like a way of like, no, enough with that. It was really, but that's what I'm saying. Like it was really nice. It was like a nice reminder that there's still people who give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just was like, oh yeah, people do listen to the show and whatever. So this is what I'll say. First of all, thank you so much to everybody who,
yes,
who listens to the show and feels like they get something out of it, whether it's, you know, advice about the DMV and whether you should get an A or a C or whatever, you know. I say always go A. Amber sometimes is like, I want to see, but you know, whatever happens, happens. And then also what I was going to say is, if you can, and there's no demand here, but I would like it if people would just smash that like and
subscribe. No. Oh my God.
No, that's not what I was going to say. No, but if anybody wanted to weigh in on the comments on this episode and just like, and just go, just say, hey, like, don't even, you don't have to say anything.
Just an emoji.
Yeah. Like, I just like to.
Signs of life.
Yeah. There's something nice about going like, oh, you know, it's now somebody knows that I'm best friends with Beyonce and went to a party for her in Bel Air.
It's the social and social media, right?
Right, right.
People forget that was the draw at one point.
So do your checking in or do your parting shot. Throw it up on the YouTube page on this episode. And yeah, we just are very grateful to everybody. Gratitude.
Check it out.
Practicing gratitude. Someday I'll get it right.
It's not.
And by the way, if anybody has a recommendation of a really good breakfast bourbon besides Maker's Mark, I would love to hear what it is.
Breakfast bourbon. That's the next improv.
Or I guess it's brunch bourbon, not breakfast. It was brunch.
I like breakfast bourbon better.
I do too. It sounds better.
Mm-hmm. That could be your next improv group.
Hi, folks. We're breakfast bourbon. Can we have a suggestion for a disaster that could happen if you started drinking bourbon at breakfast?
And all of your sentences have to start with the letter B.
Okay. Boy, oh boy, it's good to see you guys. Been a while, hasn't it? Bet you have some great ideas of what's going to happen tonight. Beyonce, huh? Folks, this has been The Long Shot. It is a podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. But I swear my anger is not livid enough, and my memories are not vivid enough, and my nerves are not timid enough, and you are not forgiving enough, and I'm not nearly living enough to make any of this seem worthwhile. No, my anger is not livid enough, and my memories are not vivid enough, and my nerves are not timid enough, and you are not forgiving enough, and I'm not nearly living enough to make this seems worthwhile. There's gotta be some reason to find you, aside from your hair blowing behind you. There's gotta be some reason to find you, aside from your hair. And there's gotta be some reason to find you, aside from your hair blowing behind you. There's gotta be some reason to find you, aside from
your hair.